Okay, we'll get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to the book of John. No, don't go to the book of John. I don't know why I said John. Go to the book of Acts 16. Like I said, I'm kind of lost up here. So do we have anybody that brought homework? Carrie, you brought homework. I am so proud of you. Lucas, just turn around there and check it out and see what I should give him, an A or a B. So just get Carrie's paper there and grade it for me. How about you? You got homework? No, behind you. Looky there. John 3:16, he wore it tonight. You got your scripture. There you go. That was amazing. I could pull it off from here and even see it. Glory to God. Okay, I want to talk to you about something tonight. I've been preaching about the army of God. I've been preaching that you are the army of God, and that the amount of word that you have in you, the knowledge that you have, and what's been given to you over the years, you know, things that maybe you're not even thinking about that was sown into you as a child, that you know that's the word that has got to come out of you and to be able to help somebody else and to tell somebody else. We use the term disciple, make a disciple, but you know, that term's kind of out of date. It doesn't really relate to people. We don't have discipleship in the world. You know what I'm saying? But there is discipleship in the world. There's mentoring. Mentoring is discipleship. You go to work for some company and they have programs, mentoring programs, where they teach you the company and the way the company is going to work and all that kind of stuff like that. And there's all kinds of different, you know, things out there. But the bottom line is all discipleship is taking what's on the inside of you that you know and then telling somebody else. George, if you ever took somebody and showed them how to mill something on the machine, the milling machine, because it's something you knew and you showed them and taught them, you made a disciple. All right? But it's a disciple in milling, or it's a disciple in, if you, you know, taught somebody how to drive a car or whatever you did, that's being a disciple. We do it all the time. We teach people all the time things. But you know, also that can be taught bad. Right? You can be a discipler of darkness. You're teaching people all around you how not to act, really, is what it amounts to. But what Jesus wants us to do is take the word that's on the inside of us, what we've learned, what we've seen him do in our lives, and then be able to share that with somebody else. Okay? Now, tonight, what I want to venture into and tell you and show you, you know, it's good news. It's truth, but it's a little sobering. When I first got saved and started to serve the Lord, started to read my Bible, I thought that because I understood the Word of God and I knew what God was saying and I was learning who Jesus was and I saw this and I was excited about everything, I thought that I was going to eventually arrive at this place of perfection. Not in I would be perfect, but that I would never have any problems. Okay, that's just what I believed. I believed that, why not? I want to be like Jesus. I'm just going to stand. I'm just going to speak. If there's waters in my way, just tell it to part. You know, or I'll walk over the top of it, you know. Whatever the issue may be, man, just I'm just going to speak. I'm just going to go. I mean, there's no big deal. Just Jesus did it. He said we did it. He said he gave us the power and authority, but I want to do it. So there's not a problem. But there's a few things that I failed to learn in those early days. And so there was a time in my life that I became discouraged when everything wasn't working like it was supposed to work. And I began to look at things and I began to question things and I began to, you know, try to find answers because I wasn't seeing everything just lining up perfectly in life. Now, I tend to be that kind of person anyway, in the natural. I like my ducks in a row. I like things to run smooth. If I'm planning on going somewhere and I'm going to go and I'm going to leave at a certain time and I'm going to go be at a place and I want to do that, and I, in my mind, plan out my day, but then as my day goes along, so many times then that didn't work and that threw me off here and then that didn't make over here and that. And then by the time I, you know, middle of the day, I find myself frustrated because the day didn't go like I thought it should go. Anybody else? Kind of like that. You ever been like that, huh? Well, the bottom line is that what we really need to be praying, and what I'm trying to teach myself and learn is that we really need to be knowing what Jesus wants us to do and walking in what he wants us to do and believing that what our steps are ordered of God and that where we are is the place we're supposed to be. Hello? But see, that doesn't fit into our schedule sometimes. The person that you ran into that's been talking your ear off, but you're thinking you need to go somewhere else to do something, may really be the person you're supposed to be discipling. And it's takes a lot of faith to believe that you're hearing from God and that He's ordering your steps and that you are hearing what the Spirit's saying and you're going forward. And that's because there's a lot of times you're not hearing anything. You just have to believe that He's ordering your step, that you're going to put your foot in the place it's supposed to be. Y'all with me? See, the Bible says God orders the steps of a righteous man. It doesn't say He orders his standing stills. He orders his steps. That means you have to take a step and believe it to land on the spot it's supposed to. It takes greater faith to do that than it does to sit down and say, okay, if I leave the house at 8 o'clock, then I'll end up over there by 9, and then I'm going to go do this, and that shouldn't take more than 30 minutes, and then I'm going to go over there and do that, and then I'm going to come back over here and do that. Because that's just being a good administrator, a planner. Right? I mean, that's just being an organizer and a planner and whatever. And I'm the kind of guy that I get real focused. And when I get real focused, I don't see anything to the left or the right. I'm just going. And that's one of the things the Lord's trying to break in my life, because He's wanting me to stop and to be sensitive that I may need to do this or may need to do that. So I was practicing this because it's easy to practice when you're not working. You're not in here. So when I was down south, I'm working, I'm preaching, but I'm in a totally different environment. So I was just saying, okay, God, just order my steps. Just line everything up. And so I wanted to go to this certain convenience store to get a couple of bottles of water to take with me when I was going to the men's meeting, because I knew I was going to get thirsty and want water. And so I missed it. I was looking at something else, and I missed the turn in. And so I was like, oh, man. So I went up, and then I had to shift lanes, and I turned around, and I noticed this lady standing in front of her car, holding a set of jumper cables. It's an obvious, pretty obvious sign, right? But I had to stop and think. Now, is there somebody just waiting for me to get out of the car, and then they're going to knock me in the head and steal my car? And so I went up and I turned back around, and I came back, and she's holding the jumper cable. She's like, "Can you help me in?" So I eased up there and real slowly and looked around. Didn't see anybody. Just heard her little kids, and so I was like, "Okay, I don't think that kid can take me in." So. So I get out, and I said, you need a jump? And she said, "Yes, sir, can you help me, please?" And I said, "Sure." And so I lifted the hood of the Suburban, and then I had to, she had the shortest jumper cables I've ever seen in my life. And so we finally worked up, and I finally got her started, and we got the car started, and she knew how to do it all. Apparently, she's been doing this for a while. And so she put all the cables on there before I could get out of the deal and connect everything together and started her car up and said, "Thank you, sir, so much. Thank you. God bless you." And it made me stop and say, okay, now, Lord, I thought I missed my turn was what the problem was. But did I miss my turn? And did this lady, because I didn't have a conversation with her, because you could tell when I got out of the car, she was a little nervous. Because I think then she thought, is he going to knock me in the head? But he's not going to steal my car because it won't start. But then I thought, well, did she just pray, oh, God, I can't get my car started. God, can you help me right here and send somebody to help me? And then Robert happened to be the closest available person who at the time just thought he missed his stop and turned down that street to turn around. See, I don't know how it works, to be honest with you. I mean, you can try to figure that all day long. I don't really know how it works. All I know is I prayed for my steps to be ordered. There was a pretty big sign right there. Lady stand there instead of jumper cables. And you see what I'm saying? It wasn't in my plan. That wasn't known to me. And what happens in life is that so many times when God wants to use us to do things, we are so focused on what we're trying to get done or how we think it should go, we're really missing the opportunities around us. We're missing what God's wanting to do in our midst and around us that we're blowing it. And we don't know it. None of us are, I don't know all of y'all completely, 100%, totally, and everything about your lives. I don't live with y'all. But I don't believe there's a person here whose heart is not a heart that would want to do what Jesus wants you to do. sitting in here tonight. But it's just that we miss it. All right? We're just get caught up. And so what I'm saying is, in part about being the army of God, you have to become aware that God wants to use you, and it may not be lined up like you think. Because you may just be a really good planner, a really good administrator. You may just be really good at how to set your life up in the way it should go, but God has all these little side roads he may want you to take in order to accomplish his goals. Okay? So Acts 16 is where I want you to go here. So it's Paul and Silas out here. And it says he came to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. And he spoke well by the brethren who had Lystra, and Paul wanted to give him. Okay, let me skip on down here a little bit. No, let me read this. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. And Paul wanted to have him, in verse 3, Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, as they went through the cities, they delivered unto them the decree to them, which was determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened by faith and is increased in number. Verse 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia and they came to Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. You'll see that? So they were going to Asia, but the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to go there. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go there. So they came to Mysia, and there they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So in other words, they don't know where they're going. In other words, they're just taking steps. They said, well, let's go over here. Let's go to, and why were they going there? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me. I don't know if they knew somebody over there. They thought it was a pretty region, or maybe the grapes are in season over there. I don't know. But they were said, let's go here. Right? They're just setting the course, but God is ordering the steps. But they had to be sensitive enough, because why? Just think about this. They could have been going there and said, you know, I don't know how it worked because it doesn't tell us. This is the Spirit forbid them. I don't know if they were praying that morning. Somebody said, I got a word. The word says, don't go. Or they just felt grieved in their spirit, or they just felt like they were going in the wrong direction, or felt like they were taking a shower with their socks on, or they just felt something was wrong. You know, I don't know. It doesn't really tell us, but they knew that the Spirit was saying, don't go there. Okay, so let's read on. Now, a vision appeared to Paul at night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, this is a vision that's taking place of a guy standing at the foot of Paul's bed saying, I won't come over to Macedonia. He's seeing this take place. Now, after they'd seen the vision, immediately they sought to go to Macedonia, including the Lord, and called us to preach the gospel to them. Okay, so they had no idea that they needed to go to Macedonia. The Macedonian man appears at the foot of Paul's bed. Then he says, oh, I guess the Lord's calling us to go to Macedonia. He's just theorizing this would be the place to go, right? Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw a man standing at the foot of my bed and said, come over here and preach, and then I got there to preach, I would say the meeting would be on. Are y'all with me? Because I would just know I was in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. That's a great, confident feeling. Like I have been trying to do this men's meeting for Sister Annie for months, and it never would work. The dates wouldn't work. My dates wouldn't work with hers. Her dates wouldn't work with me. Back and forth. And so I've just been praying, Lord, line it up. Well, this was the perfect time, and I believe that the guys that were there were the perfect guys. Okay? Okay. So now they're going to the perfect place to preach. Right? So let's read on. Therefore, sailing from Troas, they ran straight a course to Solomothros. And the next day they came to Nicopolis, and there they went to Philippi, which is a foremost city, part of Macedonia of a colony. And there they stayed in the city for some days. Now on the Sabbath they went out of the city, the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and they sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Okay? Now you see again, God is not not necessarily directing them specifically to this group of women washing clothes by the river. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. And the Lord opened their heart, and he did the things spoken by Paul. Now, when she and her household were baptized, okay, so now there's a lot of people getting saved. Well, I say a lot of people. I don't know how many was in her household, but a household. She begged us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now, it happened as they went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us, and they cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, who have proclaimed to us the way of salvation. Now, that's a good word. Are y'all with me? She's telling the truth. She is a slave girl with a spirit of divination. She has the ability to by the demonic spirits. She's foretelling futures. And so she's telling the truth. Right? Because they were doing that. And she did this for many days. Now you got to understand something. When we read that, we think, well, wow, this girl was right on. But she was probably saying this at the most inopportune moment. Paul's preaching. He's going along, telling him all of a sudden she jumps up. These men are servants of the Most High God, foretelling the way of salvation. I mean, it's a disruption. And then he starts off again, going again. She stands up. These men are servants of the Most High God. Right? And Paul's getting irritated with this because she's been following for days doing this. Okay, verse 18. She did this for many days, but Paul greatly annoyed. I love to read that because I love to read it that Paul got greatly annoyed, and I don't feel so bad when I get greatly annoyed because he was human and he got greatly annoyed. I mean, we have another word for that in Texas, greatly annoyed. All right? And they turned and said to this, and he turned and said to the spirit. Now notice he turned and said to the spirit. He addressed the demon that was in the girl. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Now, when his masters saw their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them into the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And they had laid many stripes on them. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet with stocks. Wow. Really getting some good results from going and doing exactly what God told you to do. The meeting was on. One demonized girl started causing a problem. Paul cast the spirit out of her. The next thing you know, they had been beaten with rods, with many stripes. They're in the innermost prison, the nastiest part of the prison, stuck in stocks. What would you do if that was you? Just think about it. I can tell you what I would have done. I would have asked whoever the one that was who said that he heard the Macedonian man, saw the Macedonian man, and I didn't see the Macedonian man. I'd have said, are you sure, brother, you saw the Macedonian man that we're supposed to come over here? Right? Are you sure you heard God? I'd immediately begin to question him. Because it doesn't compute in my American brain that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do, but I end up beaten and put in prison. The beaten part's what really bothers me. You know, I just had to spend the night in prison, got a free meal and a bed. That wouldn't be so bad. But to be beaten with many stripes and thrown in prison when you thought, man, the meeting was on. You see what I'm saying? You have to understand that just because you're following the Spirit of God and doing what the Spirit of God is telling you to do, it doesn't always mean that everything is going to go perfect. All right? It doesn't always mean everything's going to line up perfectly. That Sunday when I was preaching down there, I had a message that was, I hadn't preached it. And Anyway, there were people really responding. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just that quick told me, stop, give an altar call right now. So I gave an altar call. And 17 people came forward and gave their lives to Jesus. And I have not had that much joy, and I don't know when. It was a blessed, perfect time of the Spirit. And it was just precious. And I mean, it was worth everything to me. There's no money could have paid me for that moment of standing there and seeing those people that really, because I was off over here in the left field preaching, and then boom, I just turned right around and just gave an altar call, and these people responded. And I knew it had to be the Holy Ghost, and I knew that I'd heard him because those people responded like that. And what I'm saying is that I'm saying the meeting's on, right? Because I'm seeing results. I'm seeing something happen. Well, man, if you just got beat and thrown in prison, you're going to begin to question whether you heard God. You know, Bithynia over there didn't look so bad. Right? Okay. So verse 25 says, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. There, right there, is the key that makes the difference between Paul and Silas and most Christians. Because it doesn't say they were complaining and griping. They were fighting amongst each other. They were saying, oh God, why have you forsaken me? There comes a time in our life, and we have to believe that our steps are being ordered by God, and our faith has to be trusting in Him, that no matter what the situation's happening, no matter how it's going down, you cannot sit there and second guess yourself. Because the moment you start to second guess yourself, then you're questioning the foundation of what you believe in. You have to build that faith and confidence on the inside of you that you have heard God. Okay? Now, if you thought you heard God about a situation and the people around you are saying, you know, brother, I don't know if that's God or not. If all your accountability around you saying, you know, brother, I don't know, that doesn't really bear witness to my spirit. You may just be off and just be hard-headed and just be trying to force something to happen. Say, I don't know why I heard God and God's going to take me off. You know, you might have ate too much pizza. And there's times in my life I have had to question myself and say, did I eat too much pizza? Did I hear God in this situation, or am I just wanting it? And so therefore I'm believing I'm hearing God and I'm going forward. Because when you start catching adversity, then it makes you start questioning. Are y'all with me? Like immediately after I said that I was going to start praying for the sick like we did tonight at every service, just like I did, immediately I caught adversity. Immediately. The devil didn't give me 30 seconds. I immediately caught adversity over that. But it didn't make me any difference. It didn't even stay. Didn't even faze me, because I know that I heard God. And when I talked to the leadership and talked to my accountability people and said, you know, this is what I believe God heard me, I said, well, Robert, you're right. Go. Okay, so I heard God. So therefore, the adversity that came against me was not fun. I didn't enjoy it. It gave me some issues. It, what was the word? Annoyed me greatly. All right? But inside was the confidence to keep going on. Y'all with me? And that's what you have to have. When you start to second guess yourself, then you're getting on shaky ground. Your faith is starting to tremble, and you're getting on shaky ground. You can't do that. All right? So Paul and Silas here, they're singing hymns, they're praying, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaking, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Now that's powerful. But you know what? Their backs are still sore. From the beating. They're still in stocks. I don't know, maybe somebody in y'all great theologians know better. I don't know if they were in stocks like this are stocks with their feet in the stocks. Because I know they did it both ways, and I've heard that sometimes their feet were in the stocks and they'd beat their feet also, but so I don't know which way. But I mean, I would not even be, I mean, just lock me in a stock like this, bent over. I mean, I don't know that I could work up too much of a singing of a hymn. Unless it's, you know, oh, woe is me. So now there's an earthquake and all the doors are open. Now 27 says, the keeper of the prison is waking from his sleep, seeing all the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, don't harm yourself, for we are all here. And he called for a light, and he ran in, he fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and all your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to all who were in his house, and they took them the same hour that night, washed their stripes. Immediately he and all of his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced having believed in God with all of his household. Okay, so it ends good, but their backs are still sore from the beating. Okay, now, excuse me. Let's digress here a little bit and let's look at something. Why did that happen? See, there's some religious people would say, oh, that was a part of God's plan to get Paul and Silas into prison so that he could preach the gospel. And so they had them taken out and the people beat them and did all this kind of stuff, okay? But let's look at the story. Why were they thrown into prison? Yeah. What'd you say, Ann? The people that the girl was working for, when she lost the spirit of divination, she couldn't foretell the future anymore. And so those people lost money. So if you want to look at it this way, it was not, how do I say this? It was not Beelzebub himself sitting on the throne that caused Paul and Silas the problem. It was the natural Adamic lost nature within man that was greedy for money that actually caused the problem that had them thrown into prison. So why didn't God stop it? Well, he couldn't, because he'd violate the free will of man. So it was the free will of man and the greed of money that got Paul and Silas thrown into prison. And I'm just here tonight to tell you that I don't believe God had anything to do with it. In other words, they're just walking their walk and God's ordering themselves and said, I need you to go to Macedonia and speak to Lydia. And then after you speak to Lydia, well, then we're going to go, you know, we're going to have some other services. And then Paul's just taking his steps and just walking. And then here over here, the devil says, man, I got to stop this somehow. Well, the easiest thing to use is the greed of and money. The Bible says, when you cut it down and you boil it all down, I'm paraphrasing this. See, when you boil it all down to the very core of everything, it says, it does not say money is evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Finances, money, was the evil that was being used to get Paul and Silas into prison. Now, when he was in prison, what happened? Well, God says, I don't like my servants in stocks and beaten. We get this thinking in our mind that God could have just stopped the beating. But I don't. There's something about the free will of man and the choice of man here that is a line that we don't really truly understand. I can't explain it to you. I don't know it all. I'm not all seeing and all knowing. I'm just telling you, there's something there that you have to realize. It's the faith within your own heart that determines that you're going to live for Jesus no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way, no matter what is thrown at you, no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter if you're doing everything right, but you're getting beaten. But you need to know that when you're walking down that path, there's got to be a few jail cell doors being opened. There's got to be some people getting saved. There's got to be some lives being touched, because God wants you to use you so that you can be blessings to everybody else around you. And there always are people that will listen, even though there's others that are greedy for money. You've got to look for that, because it always, that's why I told you last week about, you know, that you got to be watching was part of the message. You got to be watching, you got to be looking, because God, there's always people that are out there that are hungry, that will get saved, that will get touched, that do want to become a disciple, that do want to know about Jesus. And I hate to say it, it's not always going to be the pretty people in life. I get so tickled every time, and I messed up, man, before service was getting ready to start, I took my iPhone, or when it was going, the praise and worship, before I got up to preach, I took my iPhone and I thought I put it on video, and I was going to video the service so y'all could, I could play it back and show y'all on Sunday what it was like at a service at Bethany. And so I did, man, I videoed. I got back, I had two still pictures. You know, I was like, Robert, good gosh. But, you know, because of the Hispanic culture, you know, I mean, there was 250 people on Sunday morning, you know, tambourines whacking and flags waving and jumping up and down and playing. There's this lady, as long as I've been going, she's there. She's got to be like 160 years old. I mean, I've never seen a lady that looks like this lady. But she has her tambourine, and she comes up, no shoes on, has a little skirt on, and she's there. Man, she's there, and she's just praising God right up at the front. You know, she's been there forever. Like I said, I mean, 20 years that I've been going down there, she's been there. And she was 100 then. I mean, put you to shame. Just put you to shame what this woman can, how long she can dance. I'm just like, lady, you're gonna, no wonder you live so long. I mean, it is unbelievable what you can do. But I was, you know, when I was looking at the people and you know, not everybody's pretty, and not everybody's, I mean, there's a lot of different people in the world. And you're looking out there, but God's looking at the hearts of people. And the person you may think, oh gosh, that person right there, I believe, you know, oh, that may not even be who God's wanting you to minister to. How do we know? We don't know that the jailer might not have just showed up at one of Paul's meetings because he was really ripe for the harvest, and they didn't have to go through the beating, it didn't have to go to the jail. It just happened that way. Or how do you know that the jailer might have been ready, but if Paul and Silas had been fighting and kicking each other in the stocks, you know, down there, and cussing and spitting at each other, that the jailer said, man, those guys, I don't know what's wrong with them, you know, and been turned off. And I can't sit here and take this chapter and try to tell you exactly this is what God is. I'm just showing you some things here and just throwing some things out to get you to understand that when you're in the army of God and you sign up for the army of God, there has to be something down on the inside of you, the faith that's determined that you're going to go forward for Jesus, and you're not going to be moved to the left nor to the right. And however it goes and however it falls and whatever, you know, person comes or this person comes, you just have to go forward, and you have to just keep wanting to go forward and keep stepping out and keep going and keep going, no matter what the circumstances. And you cannot judge by the circumstances around you that you're doing right. It has to be a relationship with the Spirit of God on the inside of you to tell you that you're doing right. Because if you're judging by the circumstances and situations going on around you, you will get misled. You can't do it. It has to be inside of you. That has to have that spirit relationship with the Holy Ghost talking to you and having that to know if you have peace and you're going in the right direction. Because if you're just going to judge by success, you could miss it. Hello? So, excuse me, that takes us to the place of our lives, though, about our relationship with Jesus. All right? And where is our relationship with Him? Are we? What kind of relationship do we have? Do we know the Holy Ghost? Do we know what the Spirit of God is saying to us? Do we know how to hear the Spirit of God? Which takes us on off to another message on another day. But that's where we need to be. Amen? So, I don't know about you. I would like to avoid the stripes. I don't want to get beaten. It doesn't bring me any joy to say, yeah, I was beaten for Jesus. I have 47 stripes on my back. I don't. Glory, brother. I'd just soon miss it and still follow the Spirit of God. Because I'm afraid of myself in that situation that I might not be godly. I mean, that's what I fear, I'll be honest with you. That I might not be godly. I might revert to Cowboy Bob. You know? Are we through? Go ahead. God bless you. All those of you listening by audio, I love you, and I'll talk to you later. You can just chop it off because I don't even know. I'm not trying by any means to be, you know, whatever here. But, you know, the video, I never saw the video. I didn't watch it. About the American that they killed, they beheaded, you know? You'd have a pretty hard time getting me down there on my hands and knees to cut my head off. I would be spitting and kicking and leg whipping and butt head butting. I'd have to be knocked out. There's just no way you're going to get me into that position. It's going to take a bunch of guys to hold me down. They're going to hate me so bad, somebody's finally going to stop and say, somebody just shoot him. And so that's why I'm a little concerned that of the beating with stripes, I might not be too nice. And I've been praying for Him to work that out of me, that I could say something nice in the midst of that. I could still be singing hymns and praying and worshiping God. But it didn't say what they did during the beating. It just said what they did after. Hey, man, I got a new doctrine going. You know he's abundantly agitated or whatever it said. We know he was abundantly annoyed, so I don't know, man. I think he can work something out here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Somebody help me usher tonight. Bill's not here, so grab a bucket. Okay, we have our men's meeting Thursday, tomorrow night, 6:30, Fellowship Hall. And bring a dessert. Bring something yummy. Bring something you're not supposed to eat, and we'll repent about it later. So put your hand over your offering. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, tonight for finances, Lord, that they come in supernaturally. That, Lord, I just truly believe that in this day, in this time, in this season, the windows of heaven are opened up and that they abundantly pour out upon all of us. Lord, all the blessings of God upon each and every one of us, so we can continue to just bless and continue to minister and to continue to give, Lord. And we thank you for it and we praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.